2 Corinthians chapter 9. First couple of verses almost surprise me. When you read 1 Corinthians, you just see problem after problem after problem after problem in this church. And when you get to 2 Corinthians, Paul takes a more personal tone. He describes his ministry and he describes his heart. He tells these folks what they are to him, that they mean a lot to him, and that he cares for them, and that what he said to them wasn't meant to injure them, but it was meant to help them. But when you get to chapter 9 and you read these first couple of verses, you almost stop and ask yourself, Corinth? Is this really Corinth he's talking about here? Because you just have a hard time believing that there's anything good in Corinth. But there is. And look at verse 1, chapter 9 and verse 1. If you haven't got a Bible, look on with somebody near you maybe. And let's just look at these first couple of verses. Every time we come to church, we bring the Bible because what? Bronson, why do we bring a Bible to church? Amen. Amen. You know, whatever I have to say, unless it comes from and or agrees with the Bible, it's a waste of time. And when we preach, we try to preach out of the Bible. But there is a passage in Acts that says there were some folks who were Bereans. And they searched the scriptures to see if these things were so. And if you haven't got a Bible, you can't search the scriptures, can you? Not to mention, quite often I've been in church and maybe the speaker was waxing eloquently, telling a story or whatever, and I'd be reading ahead. I'd learn something from the Bible. So you need to bring a Bible to church. Please do so, and please be ready to follow along. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm just going to read a few verses here, and we'll have a word of prayer, probably down through verse 5. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 1, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous." That word means it doesn't really make any difference. "It is superfluous for me to write unto you," to write to you. "For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them in Macedonia, that Achaia," he's talking about the Corinthians there, "was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, you may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we," he's talking about himself, "we say not ye, we should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight that you have been so merciful to us to allow us to be here this evening, to allow us to have a church, to allow us to have a song service, to allow us to have a Bible, to have fellowship. Thank you for each one here tonight. You know they're a blessing to me and they're a blessing to each other. I do pray for folks that can't be with us tonight that you'd bring them back safely. And for those that are away from us, that have been away for a while, I ask you to bring them back safely. And I pray the most of all tonight that when we look at these passages in the Bible, that they wouldn't just be something we hear for a few moments and forget, but that they would affect us this evening. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Anytime you see the word ministry in the Bible, or you might hear the word minister, like they have the prime minister in the government, maybe in England or someplace. The word minister is an interesting word. Brother Mendez and I were talking about this today. It's the same Greek word, and don't correct the Bible, and you haven't got to know Greek to understand the Bible, amen? But it's interesting to me that the word minister comes from the same place that the word deacon comes from. And as we were discussing this today, and I enjoy having someone like that we can have fellowship with throughout the day, a deacon is just a servant. Amen? Somewhere along the way, folks kind of got mixed up and made deacons governors. They're counselors, but they're not governors. Deacons are servants. Remember the very first deacons in the book of Acts? The reason they had them was because there were some widows and some other folks, and the church was providing for them, and it was taking a lot of time. And the disciples said, you know what? We're spending a lot of time doing this work when we need to be spending time in prayer and in the Bible. So let's get some other folks and appoint them to do this service. And that's what they were, deacons. They did that service to allow others to spend time in prayer and the reading of God's word. The word minister, there's a group of Greek words, but it's from the word diakonos, which means deacon, but it just means to serve, servant. And he says in verse 1, he says, "For as touching the ministering to the saints," he says, "it is superfluous for me to write unto you." He says, "I really don't need to say anything to make you zealous. You're already zealous." The zeal was there. Something else might not be. We'll talk about that in just a second. Let me ask you a question. First of all, just break this down a little bit. To whom can you and I minister? We can minister to the lost, right? We can give them the gospel. We could minister. You ought to be a great minister if you're a man to your family. You have a responsibility to take care for your family, to provide for your family, to guide your family, to lead your family in the things of God, to have them in church, to teach them the Bible, and so on. Ministering to the lost and to your family is one thing, but you know we should minister to one another. And we should minister to those in other places as well. Now, that is where this passage winds up being the focus of many missions conferences, because we minister to people in Mexico. Nelson Dorr, missionary to Mexico. Stephen Harris, missionary to Mexico. Nelson Dorr's church, he's got men in his church that are pastors that are starting churches. We recently sent some money so that a man down there could have the resources to buy some property to build a building on. That's ministering to other saints, amen? And you would agree with me, don't you enjoy doing that? It is a blessing to minister to other people. Zeal is not really the issue, I don't think. We enjoy ministering to others. We enjoy ministering to each other, I think. But what we need to have is more than zeal. We need to have follow through. And you and I have both done this. We heard a message and we said, "I'm going to do that." On Sunday, we said, "I'm going to do that." And on Monday, we forgot. Sunday night, I preached and I said, you know, let's find three names and pray for them to get saved. And I know some folks said, "I'm going to do that." And I got two. I'm working on the third one right now, but I did. But how many times have we said, "I'm going to do that," and then Monday came along and we just forgot? We went off and did something else instead. And that's what Paul's concern is for the Corinthians. He knows they have a zeal. I hope I don't have to explain that word, but it's something that they want to do. They're excited about it. There's some energy in them that points that direction to do that. But he says, now you got to follow through. And that's what this is about. And let me tell you about follow through. I have found in my life, at least, that the hardest part in doing anything is getting started. Once you get started, once I start reading my Bible in the morning, or once I start praying, or once I start preparing a message, or once I start working on a Sunday school lesson, or once I start teaching chemistry or whatever it is, once I get started, I enjoy doing it. It's just getting past that bump of getting started. I even enjoy working out. It's just getting started is awful hard. I enjoy working in the yard. And I sit in the house drinking the coffee thinking, it's kind of hot. It's kind of dirty out there. You know, I could just sit here and drink coffee. And it's hard to get started, but once you get out there, it's no problem at all. So you know what's going to have to happen, and this is not specifically in this passage, but I'll show you some things that are. But we need to make a decision, and then we need to make a point of following through with that decision. And it's self-discipline. And by the way, self-discipline is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That word temperance means self-control. The Holy Spirit needs to get involved. But we need to do more than just think it's a good idea. I think it's a good idea to give to missions, but then I got to write that check. I think it's a good idea to go on visitation, but then I got to show up at the church. I think it's a good idea to be in Sunday school, but then I got to be here at 9:45 or 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. I think it's a good idea to go back in this back room and pray every Sunday morning and every Sunday night, and you're all invited. Come on out. We all agree it's good to pray, right? Just, I use it a humorous approach here. Make things difficult for the pastor in this way. Have so many people show up, we got to go somewhere else because we don't fit.
Amen.
Amen? That we have to move the prayer meeting out here in the auditorium maybe or whatever. Say, well, pastor, that seems like that might be some work. You know, serving God is work. It's okay. Anything else that you do worthwhile. Somebody told me, and this is not Bible, this is just common sense. Nothing worthwhile is really that easy. But it's worthwhile. So Paul says, you know, when it comes to writing to you about ministering to the saints, and he's thinking of, you see that word bounty that occurs in verse 5? In fact, it's there a couple of times. What is bounty? Somebody tell me what bounty is. Okay, somebody give me another definition. One of the high school young men, high school here, bounty. Bronson, what is bounty? The ship Captain Blood. No, that's not the same thing. Bounty. You think of bounty. Does that word mean anything to you? It's a paper towel. No, what is it? It means a bunch of it. Right? Bronson, when you eat tacos, do you like one taco or do you like to have bounty of tacos? Amen. Amen. I made soup last night, and my wife was off at work, and my son was busy. I ate the whole thing myself. It was wonderful. And as you can see, just as much as you want, that's bounty. Amen? You know, when we serve God, there ought to be bounty. Amen? See, I was soul winning one time, Pastor. No, there shouldn't be bounty. In fact, let me show you why. Look at verse 6. Oh, this is the verse to memorize, guys. He says, he which soweth sparingly, that means there's not much of it. Oh, just a little bit. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. There's that word again, bounty. A lot of it. How many hours have you spent reading your Bible this month? Hopefully there's a bounty there. How much time have you spent praying this month? Hopefully there's a bounty. Amen? I think somebody's been praying because things have been happening in our church. And but we could have a bounty if we'd pray more. Amen? Say, Pastor, it's great that we've seen a few folks saved. I think we could see a bunch of folks saved. Why? Because of God. Because God's word. He says, if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Amen? If you hand out 10 tracts, that's going to have one impact. If you hand out 500, that might have a bigger impact. Amen? It will. The Bible says so. Bounty, a lot of it. So he says in verse 3, he says, you're zealous, we know that. But he says, but I've sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain. And he says in verse 4, it could happen is a good way to say that. It's possible that those people from Macedonia would come with me and find you unprepared. So it's one thing to be zealous. It's another thing to be prepared. Someone says, I'm zealous about soul winning. Then you need to be prepared to come out. Amen? Amen, Brother Hill? You say, I'm zealous about prayer. That one's not too hard to prepare for, but then you need to get on your knees and pray every day. Prepared, maybe pick a time. But in this case here, he's thinking about bounty in terms of the gift that they're going to minister to these people with. And it's kind of, when we apply it to missions, we say this. We say, I'm going to trust God to let me give to missions, and I want to give bountifully. Folks, does God have bounty?
Amen.
Amen? I want to give bountifully to those missionaries. And so in this case here, they were going to collect the money. And it took some time, and they had to get it all together. And he said, if you wait till the last minute, you're not going to be ready. There's not going to be bounty. We need to prepare. Well, there's a whole message there, but I don't have time. But you would agree with me. Don't we have to prepare our heart before we seek God? Don't we have to prepare ourselves before we serve God? And that's what he's talking about here. We all know it's a good idea, and I agree with you that we ought to do it. Now, you got to put some effort into it. You got to get ready, and you got to do it. And that's what he's saying to the Corinthians. And look at verse 5, 3. There's some clues here. He says, I sent the brethren that ye may be ready. At the end of the verse is what he's saying. You know what? We can encourage each other. Wow, it was quiet. We can be helpful to each other to encourage each other to minister. There's a fellow in our church in Utah. I still remember this testimony. I don't know why. And he gave a testimony in church one night. And to tell you a little bit about this fellow, he's still up there. I saw him when I was up there this last couple of months ago. His name's Jim. And he does everything. He preaches in nursing homes. He oversees things in the church. And he's just a saved Mormon is what he is. He's not a Mormon anymore. He got saved. But here's what he said. He said, and I heard the testimony, and this would have been over 20 years ago. He was stood up in church one night, and he says, you know, he says, when I first started coming to church after I got saved, I was lazy. And he said, I'd be sitting at home on Sunday, and Bob would call me Sunday morning before church, before Sunday school, and he'd say to me, hey, Jim, you going to church today? Well, what are you going to say? Yeah, I'm going to church. And so he'd go to church. He said, you know, I got to the point to where on Sunday morning, I just got up and got ready because I knew Bob was going to call me and I had to be ready to go to church. Can you be an encouragement to someone like that? Now, I'm the pastor. People expect that from me. I go visit folks if they don't come to church sometimes, and if they haven't been around for a while, I go see them and so on. You know, if you just looked around at some folks that haven't been here for a while and you called them on the phone, and you said, hey, brother or sister, I missed you in church lately. Is everything all right? Do you know how powerful that is? Amen? You and I can help others to minister. You and I can encourage others to be a part of things. I need some workers. And sometimes I just wait until someone volunteers, and that's possibly a way to do it. But it's also good to ask people. Amen? And by the way, I'm going to need some leadership for Vacation Bible School, somebody to be in charge of the games outdoors, or somebody to be in charge of the cooking on Saturday for the field day, or somebody to be in charge of running things in the chapel, which will probably wind up being me and Mr. Mendez. But you know what? If I ask somebody, there's a lot better chance than if I just wait until they come find me. And you can do the same thing. You can encourage folks. I think it was Brother Hill. I think he was asking somebody, hey, you want to go soul winning with me? Amen? You with me? We can. That's what he did. He sent the brethren. He wrote them, but he sent the brethren also to make sure they were ready. Because he was afraid there was a possibility that they might be unprepared in verse 4. And then he says, you know, I'd have been ashamed because I've been bragging on you. And, you know, sometimes I brag on some of y'all. You might not know that. And sometimes I brag on these guys here in the third row. These guys are door-hanging animals, I'm telling you. Especially when there's a milkshake waiting for them later on. They can turn around a stack of door hangers quicker than quick. Bronson's helped with that, too, and the girls have a little bit. But these guys right here. And we didn't go out yesterday. But next Tuesday, we're going to start the popsicle ministry for our fall Bible camp. And I got door hangers. In fact, They're on the Welcome Center back there. We got a whole bunch of them. If you want to take a few and put them around your neighborhood or give them to people or whatever, please take some tonight. But when you brag on people, what you're really doing is bragging on God for using them. Amen? And Paul says, I'd hate to be ashamed that y'all weren't ready, so I'm going to make sure you are. So look at verse 5, and we'll kind of finish up here. He says, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you, these fellows that he sent back in verse 3, and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready, that your bounty might be ready, as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. Covetousness is wanting something you don't have, and bounty is having something and a lot of it. We're all going to step into eternity. People step into eternity every day. Christians, good Christians. Gino Sharp's wife stepped into eternity a couple of weeks ago. And I knew her back when she was an older teenager, maybe 20 years old, when she lived in Mexico and her dad was a missionary down there. And I don't know the history of her life, but I know this. She spent her whole life around people that serve God. I suspect she has some bounty waiting for her in heaven. Not recommending you do this, but if you took time to figure out, don't do this, just trust the Lord with it. But if you took time to figure out how much you've given to missions in your lifetime, would it be a few dollars, a few $100s, a few $1,000s? A few tens of thousands of dollars? You know, things over time build up, don't they? You know how to have bounty in heaven? Serve God faithfully every day, and it all adds up. Amen? But if you wait till the end, you know, somebody says, well, I've seen this too many times. Somebody says, well, I'm really busy right now. But once I get everything taken care of, then I'll serve God. I want you to know you're never going to get things taken care of. Because in the first place, you're not the one that takes care of it. God does. And if you'll put God first, he'll take care of it. But if when you say, God, I'm going to put you over here on the shelf and I'm going to take care of things, you're going to waste your whole life. I'm too busy to go to church. I'm too busy to work in a ministry. I'm too busy. I don't have enough money to give. I don't have enough money to support missionaries. I don't have enough time to pray or teach a Sunday school class, or I don't know, I could make a long list, but I won't. You know, it takes too much commitment to work in the bus ministry. It takes too much commitment to work with teenagers. You know, and you can spend your whole life like that, can't you? But let me tell you what's exciting. You get up into your 50s and 60s and 70s. That's not the exciting part. That's the bad part. And you look back and you think, yeah, I remember when I was 27 and I started going to that church faithfully. And I've been going to church faithfully ever since. And I remember when I wrote that tithe check back then, and I've been tithing ever since. And I remember going to that missions conference and learning about giving to missions. And I've been giving to missionaries ever since. And I remember learning about going on visitation. And I remember that first time I went on visitation and I was scared to death. But I've been going on visitation ever since. That's bounty. Amen? Now you say, well, Pastor, I haven't been doing that. It's not too late to start. Do you remember the parable? The Lord came out in looking for workers for the vineyard early in the day, middle of the day, 11th hour he came out looking. And some folks said, yep, I'm going to get going. And at the end of the day, they got paid. A full day's pay. Because, folks, God's looking for faithfulness. Amen? But don't get me wrong. If you could be sending a missionary to Mexico today, well, I'll wait till I'm 60 and start sending missionaries to Mexico. You're missing the opportunity. Time to do it's now. Say, I'll become a soul winner when I'm older. Why don't you become one now? Amen? Somebody says, well, I'm too young. No, you're not. The very fact that you think that means you're not too young. You already got it figured out what you ought to be doing. Now, we'll keep on looking at this next week, but just remember once again, it's you and I that make the decision of how much we're going to sow in verse 6, whether it's going to be sparingly or bountifully. And as we go through this, it all comes back to ministering to the saints. Now, let me give you some homework. Just a simple thought. The way we treat each other in a church is the way we treat God. It's the way we treat people in other churches. It's the way we treat the missionaries. It all starts right here, doesn't it? Have you ever thought about just ministering to someone else in the church? And oh, by the way, I see it happening. There are people here right now, I know, you have plans or you have begun to minister to somebody else in this church. But have you ever thought about surprising somebody and just doing something for them? Just being a blessing to them? Praying for them? I don't know, do something kind? Young people. When I was in Salt Lake City, my youth group, without anybody telling them, decided to give me a 40th birthday party. Now, they did it when I turned 39. And they knew what they were doing. They're not stupid. But they cared about me. And I knew they cared about me, but I sure enjoyed having that birthday party. And just a warning from you, that black icing in that cake, the way they make the icing black is by putting every food coloring known to man in it. And when you eat it, your tongue will be that color for about a day or two. But they got me a cake, and they had a big card, "Happy 40th birthday, Pastor Schaefer." Wow, that was a blessing. That keeps you going a little bit. Amen? The Lord keeps you going, but that helps. What if we did that for each other? Here's your homework, is to look around the church and see somebody you can be a blessing to and do it. It's called ministering to the saints. Amen? Folks, it's a blessing. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's what God wants us to do. And it shows that we love each other. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.